Hello, my beautiful Technicolor rainbow. I'm Jacob Mangley, and you are listening to Couch Potato Salad, the finest nonsense about pop culture, served up fresh just for you. And today, it's episode 4 of Duck Bomb. No, this is a bad one, just the combination of not really a lot of Della and Launchpad ship tease. Like, there were some, but, like, it's just a thin sliver. Like, her realizing, oh, he can crash and actually be good at it. But otherwise, it was just wacky shenanigans, but I love those wacky shenanigans to a point. And a story that was, like, I think that's the problem with this episode. It's not that anything's particularly bad, per se, it's just that it's mediocre. Like, it's decent, but we just got off 3 episodes in a row that had a lot more interesting shit going on in them. This one gets interesting towards the climax when we find out why Webby's doing what she's doing. But it makes me one that makes me wish it was introduced earlier, like in the 2 previous episodes of this bomb. Or rather, 2 of the previous episodes. There's really no mystery in Happy Birthday, Doofus Drake. And Drake and his shtick was creepy and unsettling and not too funny at times. But that was carried by Beaks and Glomgold. Mostly Glomgold. As well as Louie and Goldie's chemistry. Like, that episode had parts that didn't work, but they were buoyed up by a lot of stronger stuff. But getting back on my point, I really liked about whatever happened to Donald Duck and Nightmare on Killmotor Hill is the sense of dread and tension and mystery. Like, yes, they were more serious things going on, but with Donald's plot, you didn't know when or if he'd get caught, how he'd escape, or what escape the moon. Since the trailer did spoil the fact he gets back, but given he's my he's older than me son and I want him to be safe, I was fine with that. And frankly, we knew he'd get back anyway, even if Lunaris dragged him back himself. But, like, there was tension. Like, will he be caught? How will he get out of this? And a lot of comedy. Same with Nightmare on Killmotor Hill. We knew Magica was there, but is she like a man? Was she the real thing or a manifestation? And if so, how'd she get her power back? Turns out she didn't. Or, like, is she just projecting that because that's all Lena knows, which turned out to be the truth. And then the tension was also broken up, as well as the fact there was no comedy subplot to break up the more tense A plot, like with whatever happened to Donald Duck. Which also, the B plot there had tension, because while you knew the kids were on the wrong track, you did wonder what Jones had to do with Donald, and do anyone familiar with the comics character, which even Scrooge fans from the comics might not know who he is, since he was more on the Donald side of things. But even, if you recognize the name, then there was some tension there, and even if you didn't. Here, there's tension in that, why is Webby pushing them forward? And it could be, does she miss them and miss them with their mom, or just want to make memories, or just, like, the solution, which I should get to, like, what the episode's plots are about. The A story is pretty simple. Due to Della doing some skywriting, a big C for Cornelius Coots, and she's his descendant, as are the boys. Like, for those of you not familiar with the comics, and to be fair, I'm more of a casual fan, but I do know my stuff. Cornelius Coots, the founder of Duckburg. You might also know him if you watch the 3 Caballeros show, where he's a lot more involved. I can't wait to watch that when Disney Plus launches, since it'll probably be on there, given that it's already made and has a full season ready to go. I watched about an episode of it when it leaked, but I haven't gotten around to watching more of it, so I'll just watch it when it gets to D+. Didn't help Well, actually, I watched two episodes. Didn't help Daisy's a huge bitch in that series. Like, I won't throw that term around since it's been really usually terrible with women, but no, she breaks up with Donald over a misunderstanding and proceeds to just act like a giant asshole. And from what I understand and what I've read about some of the future episodes, no, she doesn't get better. Like, and it's not Daisy's fault. She's a decent character and can be used well. I look forward to seeing her in season 3. Her portrayal there actually forced me to examine the fact that she has a deeper character elsewhere, and that when written poorly, which also happened in House of Mouse in one episode where with Clara Cluck, that's just too stupid to get into. Basically, she stalks Donald and Daisy instead of having faith in her boyfriend. That's just a misunderstanding, or at least asking about it. Automatically assumes the worst and cries and gets upset at him for being sexually harassed and eventually forced into a marriage to try and prevent someone from suicide. It's supposed to be funny. It's not. It's terrible. This episode's so meh. Then I am drifting off into other duck-related things that have pissed me off. In an earlier attempt at recording this episode, I went on a rant about the Beagle Boy birthday massacre, which I might do an episode on, which itself was the weak point of season 1. Like, yeah, I'd call this probably the weakest episode of the season. Again, it's not bad, which shows a marked improvement. The weaker episodes of season 1... one, we're just kind of there, whereas this episode at least has some redeeming qualities. So the main plots of the episode. Plot A, as I was saying before I went off on a tangent, is the boys and Webby visiting in a pioneer-type place. Naturally, the boys aren't too enthused. Well, okay, Huey would be, but the tricorner hat isn't itchy enough to be historically accurate, and he's probably been here before, given the boys' boredom at the intro speech. Given that Donald himself is a coot, I mean, he's a duck by blood, by name, since his mom... since, for some reason, his... his dad took up the duck name, but just dropped the Mick. Maybe it was a sly thing about, like, immigrants, how they'd make their name sound more American. Knowing both Barks and Rosa, I would be entirely unsurprised that that's what they were going for. Mostly Rosa, since he is, or not Rosa, Bark, since he's the one who came up with the family tree and all that. And that was a practice in the early days of immigration, and he was a history buff. So that's actually a neat thing to think about. But yeah, there's the gag with, like, the churned butter drink thing is funny, with Huey just, Louie, who's parched and wants a pep, just absolutely hating it, and jerky, which I say, come on, like, at least have some fucking lemonade. I mean, I don't know when lemonade was invented, but, like, you can break, like, character at least on that. Like, you gotta make some money on concessions. I'm sure the museum mostly runs on volunteer. It's gotta make money somehow to keep open through souvenirs and... and you already sell souvenirs, like you already have a ye olde souvenir store, given the tri-corner hat Huey complains about. And I'm looking up lemonade now. That is how okay this episode is. The B-plot, which I'll admit is the highlight of the episode, both comedically and story-wise... actually, wait, I didn't finish describing the A-plot. Oh, no. Okay, so 1676. But it was, like, in... like, there's history to it I can find on Wikipedia. I can't find exactly... when it came to America. So it might not have existed in colonial times, but I highly at least suspect it did in some form. Or you could have, like, had tea. Tea existed in colonial settler times. So you have no fucking excuse for having at least something drinkable there other than comedy, and the bit's kind of funny. It's just, you can tell an episode's main plot is boring to me when I'm focusing on the drinks rather than the actual episode. Like, I go off on tangents in these. I do, but this episode, okay. So basically, Webby wants to finish what Della started, her having done a quest to find the lost treasure of Cornelius Coop, but only having gotten so far. So she decided, so she drags the boys along, using their various interests to convince them to search for this mythical treasure, and the Beagle Boys tail them. However, that plot, okay, I was wrong a little. There is a slightly interesting bit where Big Time Beagle is thrown out of the family because Ma's tired of his messing up all the time shtick, and Big Time decides to go after the boys and Webby on his own. So that's basically the plot, a treasure hunt type thing that's just kind of there. Like, I think that's the problem now I think about it. There's just not that much interesting in the mine. Which turns out to be a corn mine. More on that later. I just loved saying corn mine. First off, there's a fuck ton of spiders. I hate spiders. I do not find the spider bits, like Dewey having spiders on my eyes or Huey coughing one up, funny. I find it fucking terrifying. Now, if you don't have arachnophobia, you might not find this as creepy, but even then, yeah, I find it at least a little gross. It's just not funny, like, making a joke out of spiders. And, like, don't get me wrong, like, cartoony spiders don't scare me that much, and weirdly enough, I do absolutely love both spider Pokemon that have been released. Like, I'm not kidding, I love a Joltik, and I hate ticks, because I used to get them at my grandma's farm. Yeah, my grandma has a farm. That's something I'd rather talk about. I used to go there when I was a kid. She lives about an hour away from here. I still go there occasionally as an adult, just not as much, because I don't spend weekends with my dad anymore. Because I'm a grown-ass man. And they sucked. Not the weekends, the ticks. And that pun was unintended, but I welcome it. But yeah, so before we can continue the A plot, which again is basically just, like, again, I'd rather talk about my grandma's farm, or I'd like play the Game Boy and go off into a room and just have fun, or play with my cousins. Just, like, that's more fun and memorable to me. Because it is. It's a good, precious memory. I love my grandma. Not enough to start a fucking cult to her or brainwash my parents into it. Yes, that episode still bothers me. But at least, like, again, it had, like, it was a bit shoddy in its construction, but it worked. Here, it's just so, like, plain. Like, you know Webby has something to prove, you just don't know what. And we'll get to that in a second. I don't want to drag this out more than possible. So yeah, there's just not much to the mine other than fucking spiders, and that's not a good accessory. Like, there is a funny bit where they try to get into a big minecart chase, and they end up having to push it for a while. And it did, but all of that really accomplished was a quick funny gag and me wanting to play Donkey Kong Country, one of the few games I really wanted that wasn't on SNES Classic at launch. That I'm only upset it's not on there now because I want to play it after that. My Game Boy Advance is busted. Otherwise, I really wouldn't be upset about that at all because, well, there's a fuck ton of good games. But yeah, I don't want to drag this episode out any longer than I have to. But that's just it. There's just not that much interesting. Like, you have a real big adventure plot, and like, you just don't have that interesting traps or stuff underground. It's just a bunch of horrifying spiders. Like, they're cartoonally drawn, like Spider from Star vs. the Forces of Evil, which the ending twist, or at least like the third act twist about the treasure, reminded me of. Again, more on that in a bit. But it's just kind of boring. Like, it's nothing we hadn't really seen before. Webby's a bit too enthusiastic for the boys, but they don't really try that hard to ask her, why are you like this? There's just not a lot of emotional weight. Like, we can tell this means a lot to her, but we don't know why till the last act. And the why would have been a lot more interesting if Della were along. So where was Della? Well, Della was in the only, like, really great part of the episode. Which we have to talk about since it literally crashes into the main plot at the end. And towards the end. And Della being there at the end is vital. So Della has to fly in the air, do the little air show, because Scrooge is a bastard and won't just, you know, donate the rest of the letters. But at least she has a plane. Well, okay, Launchpad kind of wrecked it. This plot's okay. It's better than the main plot, which is just boring, especially after last episode. Like, even not comparatively, it just wasn't that interesting. And I, like, wanted to learn more about Cornelius Coote. The end twist was good, but it's like, the third act's good. The Delpad stuff is decent. Well, sort of. I mean, it's not really shipping. It's basically Della curses Launchpad's existence for about 5 minutes. Like, seriously, it's basically just wacky hijinks with her getting pissed off at how stupid he is. As much as I love my pure boy, Launchpad's stupid dialogue is cranked all the way up and then ripped off in this episode. Like, my God, it's irritating. It's funny enough that I, to a point where I'm not really too bothered by it, but, and we've seen just how terribly he keeps the plane before, and like, it's a source of comedy in place. Like, the fact his turbo drive is a hamster, and it's later revealed it works. I just wish we'd seen more, like, method to his madness type stuff like that, and like one bit where he puts a little gum in one of the exhaust things so it helps vent the smoke a little. That's interesting. Like, that part's good, where it shows that Launchpad may crash all the damn time and may be a terrible pilot, but he has things he's good at it, and Della should cut him some slack. That's fine. And they're funny together, and I do still ship them, it's just this episode didn't give me a ton to work with. With in that regard, and I apologize, my fellow Delpad shippers probably won't get much either. Them bonding and playing a computer game together in the background of an episode earlier this week gave us more than that. But I'm not even that mad. Like, it's just more, okay, I was hoping for it, but you can't force something the crew doesn't want, or is, if they are going to make that happen at some point, we'll probably do it full on with more planning to it. And, like, if it does happen, I'd want it to, like, just take place, like, just have it happen over the course of an episode. Like, don't ignore it, but don't have it, like, swallow the show whole. Like, address it, but don't, like, have it eat the show alive. I didn't used to have to fear that. Then Star vs. the Forces of Evil happened. Season 3 and the last stretch of season 4 happened. And I became a hollow shell of a person. Well, a hollower shell of a person. But yeah, like, that plot's fine. There's some funny shtick, and it's clear, and it's funny just how bad a pilot Launchpad is, and amazing how much he hasn't killed. There's a really funny bit where Della, to try and get him to stop bothering her after she makes him co-pilot, not by choice, more just because he kind of idiots his way into it, and she's just forced to put up with him, because, well, he's family, basically. It's not bad, but it could have been funnier, and you could have done more with it, or at least had more hints that Launchpad. But it's still the best part of the episode. So, aside from one bit in the finale, which here we are. So Webby finds out it was all for nothing, which isn't a huge shock. I mean, what it was, a giant pile of corn, as well as the big reveal that Cornelius Coots' victory over the Beagles, which I forgot, gee, I wonder why, was because he used a bunch of corn, inventing popcorn in the process, probably, to make it look like musket fire. I love that twist. And I love what reason for Webby. Webby dives back in, and Della, being a concerned parent after beating the shit out of Ma and the other boys who showed up and outran big time, though we'll get to him in a second, goes to comfort Webby, and we find out why Webby did it, and that's where my bone to pick with the episode comes from. Webby feels intimidated by Della. Well, it's not admittedly not the motivation I was hoping for, that she wants the boys to still want to spend time with her now they have their mom back. And I think that would have hit a little harder. Or she wants to impress Della so she'll be like a mom to her. Like, there's stronger motivations, but this still works. I mean, Della is a lot like Webby, and Webby now has this big female role model besides her granny. She has two strong female role models in her life. And one of them she just absolutely loves. She just wants to be better. And Della just tries to comfort her. And realize she was kind of a dick to Launchpad. Like, he's still stupider than usual. She's still a little hard on him. When even if the Sun Chaser had been through tons of crashes and apparently had driven at 5,000 miles per hour, the fact he could drive the thing at that speed when you clearly aren't comfortable doing it shows that he has at least some talent. Okay, so there was more hints than I thought. It's still just not as good as it could be. That might just be that my enthusiasm was drained by the dreary first two-thirds. But so this review doesn't go on too much longer in the episode. Della comforts Webby, basically gives her a small version of the Peter Parker... her line from Into the Spider-Verse. Don't do it like me, do it like you. And rather, you're good at your own thing, and just because you're not me doesn't make you special. It's nice, but I think this part of the plot would have been stronger if Della had shown up sooner, or been part of it from the beginning. We also could have gotten into her feelings about the boy's mother being back and stuff. It would have been so much better that way. Like, I think that's why the episode frustrates me. I hit it mid-episode, folks. I did collect my thoughts before recording this, though really these DuckTales reviews are a little more off the cuff than even usual. Just a little bit, but this finally hit me why the episode exhausts me so much, besides me being tired and not able to sleep. Because it could have been better. And I know, I'm not criticizing too harshly. Okay, I am criticizing this episode harshly, but I do get that it's hard to make a TV show, and it's hard to do this. But you could have done better, and I expect better from this crew. Like, I honestly do. I have every right to. The show is amazing, and the last three episodes have been excellent, especially Nightmare on Kilmoder Hill, which, no surprise, is the standout of this week. Like, if I do like episodes that are at least in a bomb format, I might do, or like, I rate my... And at the end, I will do a wrap-up at the end of the week and the season, as well as kind of a post-mortem on season 2 as a whole, even if I wasn't reviewing for most of it. I did really like this season, despite its problems. Like, yesterday I talked about how smushed the plots are, and that's another problem with this. You have so much stuff going on, yet instead of giving us a Della and Webby episode entirely, you just give us a little bit taste of what one could be. Hopefully we'll get one next season. I can kind of... And there's also no Lena or Violet like I predicted, but I'm okay with that to a point. They were just in the last episode, and they had no real reason to be here. Well, Violet did. I do wish Violet was around. Lena doesn't have to be in every episode she is and wouldn't have made much sense. But Violet could have been in this and probably would have been far more interesting to have someone just as invested as Webby. To have her, so there was at least one person, so it wasn't just the boys aren't really into this from the beginning and only get lured into it and then want to stop. Also, Big Time gets an army of spiders. That was interesting. Like, I wish he kind of stayed out of the Beagle Boys simply because he thought he'd get more competent, but also it would have been more interesting to have him have that dynamic. To have him, like, leave the Beagle Boys and have, even if it's a minor antagonist, who's have him but more competent as a result and reject Ma taking him back. Sadly, that didn't happen, but this episode is just, like, I've seen worse. Again, I bitched about Star vs. the Forces of Evil. Okay, KO had Let's Not Be Skeletons, which I didn't even watch till it got a bad reputation, and once I did, I saw immediately why. So it's not like a good show can't produce a bad episode, but this one's not even, like, bad in an interesting or infuriating way, other than it just wasted its potential in both plots and just kind of plodded along. I've talked about it more than the more interesting episodes this week. I left a ton of shit out of last episode. Like the fact, like the whole him talking about when you become a teenager, you sing thing. When Steven Universe had Steven debut a similar look to Dewey's hair at the beginning of the week. Like, yeah. Or the tree bit reminding me of Evil Dead, the original. And making me worry for a teenager because of having watched a tree rape at one point. I didn't think they actually do that. But I still didn't want the tree to murder her. I mean, Poltergeist 2. And trees are dicks in horror movies. But yeah, this episode was a bust. Not bad. It's not even that bad. It's just, as I've said, it's just boring. It wastes a lot of potential, and that's not a, like, again, I don't want a spectacular failure of an episode from DuckTales, but at least the spectacular failures are, like, I haven't watched the episode, and I just started trying to, like, casually watch TNG, but I do want to, but Allison Pregler reviewed an episode of Next Generation, Sub Rosa. That one had Dr. Beverly Crusher fall in love with a ghost who boned her grandma, too, after her grandma dies. The Federation takes place on a 17th century colony resembling 17th century Scotland for some godforsaken reason, with none of the Starfleet's update, and has Geordi and Data zapped by a fucking ghost. Well, I mean, an alien ghost thing. It's still Star Trek. But it's like a bad, terrible romance novel, young adult Twilight knockoff plot in Star Trek. And watching her review made me want to see it. Because it looks like what clips I could see in just the plot itself, backed up by video evidence, proves that it's a good, amazing train wreck. It's the same with the Banana Splits movie. This is just boring. It's boring and it wastes a lot of good shit, like Della and Webby bonding. I want an actual episode of that next season. That's the other reason this episode pissed me off. It's just because it's boring, and when you have, even if, like, and yeah, 25 episodes, 24 overall due to them rolling two of them together so they could get their 1 hour finale next week. Like, I do get that when you have like 24 episodes, you have a lot of, it doesn't sound that tight. But when you have a lot of plots going on, a ton of characters to juggle, some which you don't use as much as others. Though some, like Gladstone, only getting an appearance this season, it feels like. I mean, things can change, and he might show up for the army they're pulling together for the finale. And we don't know what'll happen between now and then with Richest Duck in the World. Like, will Scrooge lose his fortune? I don't know. There's a lot that could happen between this episode and the next one. But my point still stands that this episode was boring and wasted my time and a lot of it because I spent 30 minutes talking about it. And a lot of it's that's just because I went off on tangents about other things. It's not very good. And it's a disappointment because the show can do so much better and has proven so. And wasted Della and Launchpad finally having a plot together. Even if you don't ship them, there's a lot. There's still a lot of fun to be had, and the basic plot's fine. It's just Launchpad's stupidity's cranked up, but his competence is kind of suppressed, which just, yeah, it just wasn't very good. It was a waste of a lot of good elements that should have made this a classic, and or a, at least a decent episode, and instead just made it a boring one that makes me bemoan the fact we have to wait probably about 3 days before time NATO, and we get the continuation of the Louie pod, as well as what I think, and I hope I'm actually right this time, will be a Louie and Della plot, since the Webby and Della one was just kind of, we don't really want them to have a whole episode together, even though why not? Again, that would have been about 10 times more interesting. But yeah. That's the episode for this week, or for this episode, and that's it for this week of DuckTales. And next time we have Time NATO, which looks fun and looks to redeem Bubba. Now, I haven't seen his episodes. I don't know how bad he was in the original. I think I actually watched some of them. Wait, no, I did. I seen him. He sucks. But hopefully he won't suck in this series. So far, I've had a good track record of that. Even Doofus is creepy as hell. He's at least more interesting. So we'll see what they do with Bubba the Cave Duck and his Triceratops next time. As well as more Gyro, which is welcome. Especially since I do like that they made him more of a wacky genius again this season. Without, like, they haven't removed his asshole edge. They've just tampered it down a bit so it's not as obnoxious, which is fine by me. I didn't mind it, it was a bit much in season one at times. But it's also really funny, so it's kind of a toss-up. But yeah, we'll see more next time. Until then, courage. How are you doing on this episode, Yoshi? My dog has nothing to say. I can relate.